Now, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. And so the first point that you need to get across, if you're going to be more heavenly minded so you can do some earthly good, you have to realize it's because of what is now true of you spiritually. Now, let me say something. We are living in the church age. We are not living in the Old Testament dispensation. With Israel. And we're not living in the millennial age yet to come, are we? That's the coming world to come. But here's what the Bible says about us, that we are a heavenly people. If you're a born-again believer, you're a heavenly people. You're seated with Christ already spiritually in heaven, and you are a heavenly people. Now, Israel, the nation of Israel, are God's earthly people. And let me share this with you. The Bible says that there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back, and the first thing he's going to do, if you are a born-again Christian, you're going to be raptured. We'll talk about that later on. And then after the tribulation, and at the end of the day of the Lord is going to save the nation of Israel. And then on the first day of the millennium, he is going to have the judgment of the Gentile nations. And those that get saved at that judgment will be the sheep, and they'll go into the millennial kingdom in their earthly bodies. They'll go in their earthly bodies. Israel, that got saved at the end of the day of the Lord during the 30-day reclamation period, Israel as a nation is going to go into the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, in their earthly body. But before all of that, when Christ came back in the rapture, the church, which you're a part of tonight, if you're a saved person, that church is going to meet the Lord in the air. And at the beginning of the millennium, here's what it says about the church. It says, Revelation 21, verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." 2016, my wife, who's here tonight, and I went to Israel. We saw Old Jerusalem. We were coming up out of the Dead Sea, and they played that song, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your voice and sing." And there we saw the Temple Mount. There we saw the city, you know. But it was the earthly city of Jerusalem. My wife, tears streaming down her face as I looked at her. We're in the tour bus. But I thought about the fact that's not our home. Our home is the heavenly Jerusalem. And on the first day of the millennium, we're going to come down in that heavenly chandelier city, and it will hang right over Jerusalem on earth. And there we will have our home, and we'll commute to do our day job on earth from the heavenly city. And your body will not be a mortal body. It will not be a dying body. It will not be a body like you have now, because we are what? A heavenly people. But we will be involved in the court system. We will be involved in the legal system. We will be involved in ruling over the world as governors and mayors and so forth and so on. And I'm saying that those people that we have to do with in that coming kingdom, which could happen in your lifetime, those people, listen to me, they will be in their earthly bodies. They will have bodies. Now, the good news for them is, though they have bodies like you, they will age much slower than you are, because the new earth will have a new sky with a canopy to protect them from the rays of the sun, just like before the flood, and they'll live to be hundreds of years old. And so a 500-year-old man might look like a 30-year-old man or a 35-year-old man. They'll age slower. But I'm saying they'll still live in their earthly bodies. They will have aches and pains and needs. They'll have certain great blessings during the millennium. But you, my friend, are a heavenly people, and God says you need to be more heavenly minded because you are already spiritually seated with Christ in heaven, and that is your position. And you also, by the way, how many of you live in an apartment or a house? You didn't raise your hand. That means you're homeless. But what I'm saying tonight is you have a house. My mother is closing on her house this Wednesday. She's signing for another family, a Dutch family, Mom, to live there. But my mom knows that her loved ones are in heaven, right? They're in the New Jerusalem. And that is where her house is. In fact, here's what the Bible says, that you have a mansion in a city called the New Jerusalem, and that mansion is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And that mansion is up there waiting for you. Now, I remember when my wife and I lived at, what was it, 1125 Providence Road. We used to live at 1125 Providence Road. It was a big house. We painted it red. I painted that house red. We had a garage there and a big house. And it was a great, great house. But it got to the point where my wife said, I want to move from here. I want another house. And, you know, a man will live anywhere, but when a woman says it, you move, right? You do what she wants. And so that's it. And so I started looking for another house, you know, and we had bought that house, which was a historic house, from our former pastor. He and his wife lived there and their family. And when I came up here from Florida, we bought that house and we lived in it. And we went through some things, and we went through a really tough year in 1984. My wife lost a baby. I got attacked by people, and it was a hard time. I had a guy come into my house, and he thought we'd stolen his kid, and he came up there, and we were in bed, and I got out of bed, pulled a gun out, a loaded gun, and I said, John, you need to leave. And he wouldn't leave. He was going around, and I could have shot him, but I didn't. I didn't want to shoot him. And so I said, he'd come and ran into our garage, and I had chairs up by the door because our lock didn't work. Boom, he blasted those chairs out and came in our house. We jumped out of bed. We had a couple call us saying that he's coming. And it was a crazy time. I kept telling my wife, you know what you have to do. She's picking up a big jar to hit him on the head. I said, you know what you have to do. She thought I was saying hit him on the head. No, I wasn't. I was saying call the cops, but she wasn't getting it. And I tried to get him out of that house and did everything I could. And finally, the cops came, but he'd already gone because I yelled at him. I said, John, you're in my house. I got to go. So he finally left. He realized his kid wasn't there. His wife wasn't there. So he left. And when they finally caught up with him, it took him 7 hospital people to hold him down. He was just an average-sized guy, but there must have been some demonic power there. And anyway, he was messed up. And we went through a really hard time. A lot of things happened. My wife lost a baby due to those battles. And after that, I didn't know it, but we had a house waiting for us in Clark Summit. Amen. And in about 1986, I believe, we moved into that house. End of 85, first part of 86. And that was right after our youngest daughter, Brooke, was born. And it was a new era for us. Brother Joe, we left that Providence Roadhouse. We went up to Clark Summit. And they had, you know, tall grass growing up. The place had been repossessed by the bank. They'd let the pipes freeze and burst. But it was our house that we had, and we put a bid on it, and we got the house, and God wonderfully provided for that house. I remember my father-in-law gave us a $17,000 gift. He said, you manage apartments for me in Florida, and I'm going to give you a gift. Well, he's just looking for an excuse to give us a gift. And he gave us that gift, and we were able to move in there, and God provided to rent the garage, and we were able to pay the mortgage in a large part because of that. It was just such a blessing. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying that these are earthly homes. We're still there. We've been now, this will be just about this year, we'll have been there 40 years. 40 years in Clark Summit, that beautiful property. But you know what? Our home in heaven is so much better than that. My mother's never seen her home. I've never seen my home. You've never seen your home. But we know Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I remember my wife and I went out to Malibu, California, and we drove along the Pacific Coast Highway. What a beautiful thing. I'd like to do that again, but go higher towards San Francisco. Just drive along that Pacific Coast Highway. But I remember we looked at the mansions of the stars there in Malibu, because my son knew a lot of those stars from being there and knew their houses, and he just showed us them. And there were multi-million dollar mansions. And you know what I kept thinking about? That's nothing compared to our mansion. It's nothing. We are a heavenly people, and you have a house waiting for you in heaven, and it's in a wonderful city up there. You say, how big is that city? Well, the Bible says in Revelation 21, 16 and 17 how big it is. I'll give it to you in terms of miles. It goes from New York City to Denver, Colorado, and it goes from New York City to Miami, Florida. It's a cube city, 1,380 miles long, 1,380 miles wide, and it's a square city. It's been estimated that if you took all the saints that have been saved through the church age, that each person would have enough space in that city to have a cube of 75 square acres. 75 square acres. And in that city, there is one street. And it says that that one street is in that city. And it says, I'll read it to you. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, in the midst of the street, there's a river. And either side of the river was there the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. So you have a tree, an orange tree, you have a pear tree, you have a grapefruit tree or whatever tree. Well, this thing has all the fruit in one tree. And every month it blooms and blossoms and bears fruit. And the tree is all along the street of the city. There's a stream going right down the middle of the street. It's like a boulevard, and the tree on either side. Throughout that one street that goes all the way through the New Jerusalem. And you have an address up there somewhere. I don't know, 007 Golden Way. I don't know what your address is. I don't know. But I know... I know that when we die, we don't cease to exist. We just move our residence. And that's the best move you're ever going to make. And so, you know, how many of you have hit a pothole in Scranton? Yeah. You're not going to hit a pothole up there. The streets are not made of asphalt or cement. They are made of pure gold. Can you imagine that? You know what? It seems too good to be true, doesn't it? But it is true. That's why Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, about these things. And the Lord promises that he has a mansion already prepared for you. And I've seen God give us a house here. How much more is he going to give a house in the world to come? I am looking forward to it. But there's something more about that heavenly home that you have. Here's what it says, for the hope, this is the Apostle Paul, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You know what? My mom is here, and she can tell you old age doesn't come alone, right? She has problems in old age that she didn't have when she was younger. And the older you get, the weaker you get. And it comes to the point where, not the case of my mom, but you come into life and you're bald, no teeth, and you need diapers. And you go out that way oftentimes. It's very humbling. And if that was my future, you know, you're in your 40s and 50s, and you're working out, and you're building your body. Let me just take you a little farther, friends. You're going to lose your teeth, your hair. It ain't too good. But I'm not going to leave you there tonight, because it says you have hope. But the hope is after you leave the body, or when Christ comes back, that you are going to realize you have a wonderful home that is waiting for you in a literal heavenly city. And if you're all excited about this life and all that you got in this life, my friend, you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. And God will let you see reality as you go along that you're going to lose it all. Even you're going to lose your mind, some of you. Alzheimer's, senility. It's not too pretty. John R. Rice, when he was in his 80s, he preached his last sermon. He got in the pulpit and he just started urinating right there in the pulpit. He didn't even have, he had his pajamas on under his suit, you know. It happens. That's not your hope. Your hope is not in the gym. You can go there, bodily exercise profits a little, go ahead and go at it. I still do it. Not in the gym, I do it in my house. I'm saying your hope is in heaven, a home there, a city there, a mansion there, a Savior there, your loved ones there. That's the permanent place. I've moved from home to home. I can tell you all the homes I've lived in. I've lived in this last one for 40 years, but it ain't forever. My mom lived in her home for a lot of years, but it ain't forever. She moved in there in 1957. Do the math, and she's selling it now. I'm just saying, don't be so earthly minded. You're no heavenly good. Be more heavenly minded so you can do rather more earthly good. For the hope, it says, which is laid up for you in heaven, that's where it is, whereof ye heard before the word of truth, the gospel, Colossians 1:5. And I remember my mom was from Muskegon, Michigan. I was in the home where she was raised, and I was visiting my grandma for the summer and staying there. And I remember believing on Christ, June 16, 1967. And I went out of that house up there in Muskegon, Michigan, where my mom was. And you know what? Everything looked different to me. You know why it looked different? Because I realized my hope wasn't in this world. It was in the heavenly city. And I had a home in heaven. That is God's gift to you and me. And so you need to be more heavenly minded to do more earthly good because of what is now true of you spiritually. And here's what the Apostle Peter said about that. Listen up. He says that you've been born again, if you're a born again Christian, to an inheritance. How many of you have ever gotten an inheritance? Okay, not many. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Brother Joe, you got an inheritance, right? From your parents. Beautiful farm called Ashland Farm up there. Beautiful property. Brother Joe and his family got an inheritance. I remember my father-in-law and mother-in-law passed away. My wife got an inheritance along with the other siblings, and I think each one probably wound up with about $80,000 that was given to my wife and her siblings from her parents. You know, that is an earthly inheritance. But the thing about that is, you can't take it with us. By the way, that's already spent. You can't take it with you. Now, if you do have it, you're going to have to die. I haven't seen any U-Hauls that go to the grave. You know, it's just a hearse, right? You can't take it with you. You leave it, and then you give it to somebody else. That's an earthly inheritance. But listen to me. Jesus died and paid for with his blood, not money to give you, not a home on earth to give you. He died to give you an inheritance. It says reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4, it says to an inheritance, listen to this, incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Can you imagine heaven, the flowers there, the homes there, the place there? It says it's incorruptible. Tomorrow I'm going to take out the garbage. There's a lot of it because we got people that have been in. It smells. It's garbage. There's no garbage there. Kyle, you worked on the sewer. He's sending me pictures of the sewer. There's no sewer there. No garbage there. That inheritance is incorruptible. People aren't going to get old there. They're not going to die there. They're not going to lose teeth. They're not going to lose hair. Undefiled, it says. Incorruptible. Undefiled. There's no dirt there. There's no filth there. My, oh, my. I had a beautiful Oxford shirt on. We had a bonfire last night, and I didn't have enough sense to take my shirt off. And my granddaughter came up, "Papa, Papa, your hair's burning." And I had, like, coals of fire burning from my hair. As I'm building this fire, I'm trying to get a big fire going. I didn't even realize it. I go, "What?" And then she comes up to me. She says, "Man, it almost burned down to your scalp." And everybody's looking at my hair, you know. And then later on tonight, I noticed I had a big black smudge there on the white part of my Oxford shirt that I got through my granddaughter, my daughter. And it had a hole in it. And I said, oh, my, that's the story of my life. And my daughter Mindy said, Put it on the washer. I'll shout it out with shout. She said, "I'll get it." My granddaughter in college at Pensacola, she said, "I'm a good sower, Papa. I'll sew it up for you." But I'm just saying to you, it's incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't get dirty. No dirt, no grime. And fadeth not away, you know. Everything fades and gets old, but not that inheritance, because it has no effect of sin. And what an inheritance. It's permanent. It's permanent, and Jesus will give it to you. After you're raptured, you meet the Lord, you go to the judgment seat of Christ, all your works are tried, and what's left, he's going to give you an inheritance in that heavenly city. By the way, on the first day of the millennium, it says in Revelation, that city is going to come down like a bride prepared for the bridegroom and hover over the New Jerusalem. What a wonderful home, permanent home that will be. And it'll be right over the earth, and we will reign over the earth. These things are wonderful things. Do you think about them? Do you concentrate on that? My mother's going to lose her home, but she's not going to lose her real home. You see, we can't stay in your home forever. My grandmother, Grand Mabel, used to say, the one that led me to the Lord, she said, "Randy, you look at me and I'm getting older and older to you." She said, "But I'm looking at you through the windows of my eyes and I don't see any different. I'm looking out, you're looking in, you see a different." She was getting older. So are you. So are we. But there's coming a day when we're going to leave that body if the Lord doesn't come back first, and we're going to go to our heavenly home. So be more earthly minded to do more. Be more heavenly minded to do more earthly good because of what is now true of you spiritually. Number two, because of what will be true of you physically. Look with me at verse 4, Colossians 3, verse 4. I'll read it. You follow. It says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." What does that mean? Right now, Christ is in you by the Holy Spirit. One of the men tell me, where does Christ specifically live in you by the Holy Spirit? What part of your being?
Dwelleth in our heart by faith.
Well, that's talking about experiential thing, but where does the Holy Spirit live right now? He lives inside of your body, but he lives inside of your spirit. Your spirit was dead, but now it's alive. That's why it says Christ, who is our life. Do you realize that Christ is your life? What is life? It's that which animates your being. I am animated from the inside out. The Bible says our outward man perishes. That means we have dying bodies. But our inward man is what? Renewed day by day. I was out visiting the other day. I said, I'm talking to a bunch of people from Pioneer Baptist Church, a bunch of ladies and everything, and they'd never met me. So I said, I'm 76 years old. I'm on. And they, oh, I didn't know you're 70. I can't believe that. One lady said, I said, you're lying. But she said, no, I mean it. I would have never figured. I said, well, listen, if there's any youth in me, it comes from the inside out, because I am serving Jesus Christ. He renews me on the inside. And I find out that people that are not saved and they're trying to get this world to get them, it doesn't help. I'm just saying that Christ is our life, it says in verse 4. Now listen to this. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know what the word appear is there? It's the word epiphania. And what it means is a bright, shining light. And the Bible says that just before Jesus Christ appears physically, remember I said you're already risen with Christ and seated with him spiritually, but there's coming a day when the light of the presence of Jesus Christ is going to appear spiritually. He is coming back for you. He's coming back for his bride. He loves his bride. You're bound for heaven. He's coming back, and when he comes back, the light is going to shine. And here's what it says about that just before he comes back. What's going to happen? Revelation 6, 12 and 13 says, and I beheld, John writing, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell onto the earth, talking about cosmic darkening. Then it says in Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be what? Darkened. And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then all the tribes of the earth shall rejoice. No. They'll what? They'll what? Mourn. They don't want Jesus to come back. But you do if you're saved. I do. I'm born again. I'm looking forward to it. Are you so earthly minded you're no heavenly good? He's coming back after he darkens everything. His light is going to shine, and it says all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. By the way, that's not a secret rapture where just your clothes are left and you disappear. No, it says he's going to appear, epiphania, and we're going to appear with him. In other words, he's going to shine like the light of the sun, and we're going to be bright as we go up to meet him in the air. Through the darkness, the people of the world will see us and they'll mourn because they took the mark of the beast. They put their faith in Hitler coming back from the dead, but we believe in Jesus. Maybe Nick Fuentes has his faith in Hitler. I don't want to have my faith in the beast. And then shall all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. They're going to see him. It's not a secret second coming. It's not a secret rapture. And he shall send his angels, it says, with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In other words, the angels will come and gather us to meet the Lord in the air. You're a heavenly people. Be more heavenly minded, friends. Then you can do more earthly good because of what is already now true of you spiritually, and because of what will be true of you physically when the Lord comes back. And by the way, that's also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. It's all through the Bible. These are true scripture. It says, for the Lord himself, that's Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that means we're not dead, we're still alive when he comes back, those that are, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the ones that are already dead, that departed, will be caught up together with them after they are raised up out of the grave in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. See, there's going to be a great reunion coming. You need to think about, not only are you already risen with Christ and seated with him spiritually, but there's coming a day when you're going to physically be with the Lord and with your loved ones that have passed. The Wilda's here tonight. Her mother passed. Her husband passed. Just recently, we've had many others that you've had loved ones that have passed. The longer you live, the more you're going to see it. Amen. My mother has just seen it over and over again until she just had Elaine, my dad's sister, the last sister. She was there at my graduation. 92, she just passed. Christian lady. We can't stay here forever. You can't have a permanent home, permanent family here. But you can there. And God is trying to get our attention tonight, saying, you need to be more heavenly minded. I know you're thinking about all the stuff you're going to do. I do too. We live in a mortal. People say, how you doing? I said, gloriously, but still in a mortal body. But I'm alive in Christ. I'm risen with him spiritually. It's getting one day closer when I'm going to see him physically, either by leaving my body or by leaving the world when he comes back. Dead or alive, I'm going to be with him. And so are you if you're a born-again Christian. So be more heavenly minded, that you then can do more earthly good and do the work that God has called you to do, rather than getting all caught up with this world. Because it says in Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21, these words, listen to this, for our conversation, that means our life, the life that we live, is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the Savior to come back? Some people say, well, that means I'm not looking for the signs. No, when you're looking at the signs, you're looking for the Savior. That's how you look for him, through the signs. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I've been looking for the Savior to come back ever since I got saved. I got saved in 1967. It's now 2026. Do the math. Hey, we're getting that much closer. Amen. He's coming back. Are you so earthly minded? You're thinking about the gym. You're thinking about your food. You're thinking about your house. You're thinking about your yard. You're thinking about that. That's all right. You know, you got to take care of those things. But man, we need to be more heavenly minded, because it says, listen to this, verse 21 of Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body? What does God say about your body? It's vile. It's vile. It stinks. It ages. It's rotten. That's what God says. I'm just laying it out to you. Who shall change our vile body? Even if you're saved, your body's still vile. That it may be fashioned like unto what? His glorious body. According to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. Listen, he is able to make your body so it'll never get sick, never die, never grow old again. Never sin again. How's that? That's what's coming for us. These are not fables. I'm not preaching to you some fairy tale. It's true. Be more heavenly minded, therefore, so you can do more earthly good. Number one, because of what is now true of you spiritually already. Number two, because of what will be true of you physically in the future. Number three, because of what you should do practically in light of this. And that is in verse 2 of Colossians 3. Let me read that. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's our problem. Your affection means your heart. It means what you love. It means what you cherish. Set your affection on things above, where you are practically, where you are spiritually, where you will be physically. Set, therefore, your affection on those things, not on the things on the earth. Get your affection. You think of Lot's wife when she left Sodom. Where were her affection? What she was looking at. By the way, Pastor Ware said, you will manifest what you're meditating on. What are you looking at? What are you meditating on? You're going to manifest that. And what happened to Lot's wife? She manifested. She turned into a pillar of salt. Because she was staring back at Sodom. What are you staring at? What are you looking at? He says, your eye affects your heart. Let your eye be single. Be focused on that which is above. I remember a guy was preaching and he said, when you go through those lines in the grocery store, or when you go to the convenience store or wherever, don't you get your eyes on all that junk there. Boy, there's more for the eyes now than ever before. I've lived many years and it's never been worse for what's available to get the attention of your eyes. And some of you tonight, you need to hit the altar because you're focused too much on earthly things and you're no heavenly good. You're not really impacting this world. So he says, rather set your affection on things above. I heard about a plane years ago. A preacher said this. There were three pilots in an airline. It was a commercial airline. I don't remember if it was American Airline or Delta or whatever it was. But there were three pilots, the main pilot, the co-pilot, and then the navigator. And there was they had a multi-million dollar jet going over Florida, going over the Everglades. And they had a $15 light that was out, and they were all trying to fix that light. And in the meantime, they bumped the automatic pilot, and they were losing altitude. By the time they realized that they were focused on that stupid $15 light, the plane went into the Everglades, losing the plane and all the passengers. That could happen to you. Listen, you need to do what you should do practically because of where you are spiritually. You know, if you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, mortify, that means put to death, therefore your members, that means the members of your mortal body, which are upon the earth, right? That's where our body is, upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That last one, covetousness, means that people, they get so focused on making money, that you're not laying up treasures in heaven. Do you know what the Bible says? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be, your affections will be. That means, where are you investing your money? You know, we have needs for the building fund. You have some money, you could help with that. Russell Anderson was very good at making money. Toward the end of his life, he said, I don't want to just die with the most toys. And he started giving away his money, $25,000 a day, just so he didn't die with so many toys. And he started Bible colleges, like the one where Luke and Lily are going, and that and did great things. And listen, God wants you to be able to give like nobody else can give. And if you have money, you can do that. God may bless America, and we may go into a golden age. I wouldn't be surprised. What are you going to do with that? Do you give tithes and offerings? Do you give a 10% out of every bit of increase? If you don't, you're robbing God, but you're also guilty of idolatry, making an idol of your money, putting that above God. Do you give offerings of alms for people that need it, or for special offerings for missions and so forth? Or are you making an idol out of your money? You know, let me tell you, God is telling us in the Bible that CBDC is coming. What's that? Central bank digital currency, where the government will own all of your money. Everything you've got will be under the control of the government. And eventually, you won't be able to use one penny of what you've got unless you bow to the beast, to Hitler, and say, he is God. I don't plan to do that. So the Bible says in James, at that time, God's people will be poor in this world's resources, and they'll be persecuted. Hey, we better make and use our money for God while we can. Because I don't want to be dying with the most toys and then have they get rusty and rotten. And God has to say, what you had, you left it all behind. Nothing wrong with leaving something for your children, grandchildren, but if you leave too much, you're spoiling them and they'll be no good anyway. Invest in God's work. Here's what it says in closing in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye had in heaven a better and enduring substance. See, you can't take it with you. These things are true in heaven. But are you so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good? You need to be heavenly minded to be doing earthly good because of what is true now of you spiritually, already in Christ, because of what will be true of you soon physically, and because of what you should do because of it practically. May God help you to be more heavenly minded so you can do real spiritual.